quit. I refuse to play anymore on a team that never wins.
Don't quit, Violet. Please. We need you. We need to stick together as a team. After all, it's not the winning that counts. The fun is in the playing.
Fred Elston, new catchphrase.
Whoop. I got nothing.
Whoop.
There's my pancake.
And with a whoop, Talk Radar is on. Thank you,
what
Brett.
What is this, 17? Is this 17?
This is 17. And who do we have in the room?
PlayStation editor Michael Raparez.
Love it when I say this. Who else?
I thought the baby sound effect would have been cute.
No, I'm not doing the baby sound effect.
Oh, Brett Elston, the cinema.
Hey. No, I'm not. But we have a very special guest. Hold on. I made Tyler an intro, a little intro, but he didn't. His computer broke. But we have a very special guest. You ready?
Ready.
Oh.
That was such a terrible reaction. Oh.
Oh, that's what it is.
Hey.
I don't know if I'm special enough for that intro.
Yes, you're the Capcom guy.
I am the Capcom guy. My name's Seth Killian, the Capcom guy.
What's your official title?
My official title is Senior Manager of Community. Communite, as we say around the office.
I've said this in earlier podcasts, though, that Capcom's Communite is perhaps the most together and has its shit together of all the sites, or of all the publishers, I mean. Like, it's the one that goes, hey, we have a community. Let's listen to them.
You're making me tear up. Yeah, that's basically... That's basically how I roll. It's just like I was a nerd from the internet, and so I feel like I am good at listening to nerds from the internet when they have something to say, and they do. So I really like them, and I have a good time with them.
We'll be talking much more about
that. Yes, we're going to go in-depth with Seth, which I can barely say after two beers.
It's like my grandmother.
In-depth with Seth.
And most of Japan.
What do they call you in Japan?
Sesu.
Sesu.
Which, if anyone doesn't know, you're the name of the last boss of Street Fighter 4, is that correct?
That is correct, and that's how they pronounce it in the game, too.
Oh, Sesu?
Sesu.
Sesu?
Yeah, there's no TH sound, as I understand
right.
it, in Japan.
I see.
And the TH becomes Su?
I didn't make the rule.
No, just...
Dar Sesu Vader?
We're not going to break down the Japanese language
all right.
here.
All right, I don't feel like it either. I don't feel like it either. You know, we are going to break down.
The top seven.
Top seven, motherfucker.
Which is the top seven canine companions. For a brief moment when we were writing the idea up on a board, we thought we should just call it the top seven dogs.
Dogs.
and have the strap line that goes underneath the headline of the article say, you try coming up with one of these every week. Because if you didn't know, we have done top sevens every week since October of 2006.
My first week at the Radar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, when you started top seven.
That's a great story anyway. We have...
Jesus. I do want to give a shout out to Tyler. Tyler was supposed to be in the podcast and his computer broke. I made him an intro and I just want to play
yes.
it.
PC so our PC editor.
Tyler Nagata, not Tyler Wilde, who's
that
our
asshole
usual guy.
Tyler Wilde.
Yeah, who's never here because he hates freedom, I guess. Yeah.
Here's what Tyler had...
The freedom-hating Canadian.
If Tyler were here, this would have introduced him.
What is this from? Oh, Wundershowzen.
Wundershowzen.
Nice.
Okay, as long as everybody's seen that show.
Okay, if you haven't watched Wundershowzen...
Do so. It's radical comedy.
Kill yourself and watch it in hell.
Yes. Top seven dogs. And what the... How did you eventually narrow it down to whatever the hell criteria we use, the published version?
Well, I, A, didn't write the article, but B, I did stipulate I wanted them to be playable. Like, characters actually did something in the game, and they couldn't be anthropomorphized dogs. Like Parappa the Rapper is a dog, but fuck it. I don't... Just no. It's a four-legged, barking, can't speak or communicate dog.
That's it? So you wanted it to be the most boring dogs.
That would have been a better headline. That's what I have to say to that.
The most
sorry,
boring
dogs. Sorry, game
I was
seven.
Like, yeah, we should get
boring-ass dogs that, as stipulated by Brett Elston.
Well, let me
we
defend, let defend it here a second. They're canine companions. Yeah. You don't want to be the centerpiece. So the tagline, canine companion, right? It's got to be a companion dog, not like a center dog.
Diminished dog.
That's diminished dogs.
I got wanted, your back, Brett. Until
I know Michael's with me. You wanted Max from MDK.
Yes.
I wanted that fucking dog from Jet Force Gemini with a laser on his back.
I don't remember this dog.
Jet Force Gemini? It was on in its system called
the
Nintendo GameCube.
Oh, the worst Nintendo system ever. I got it.
Really?
No. It was until the Wii came out.
Easy on the Wii. Seth has to sell things on that.
I don't think so. Number 7 was the laughing dog from Duck Hunt. I thought you had a sound effect.
I certainly do. Is that getting old when I intentionally play the wrong sound effect? Okay, yeah. Dog.
There you go. I don't really know. That dog's an asshole. I don't like this dog at all.
Where did he become like the scapegoat of everything on the internet? He's always like the character you want to kill the most. It's the dog from Duck Hunt. I always thought he was kind of cool.
He laughs at your misfortune.
They're sort of loading the dice. It's like a shooting game, and you can only shoot the ducks, and then there's this jerk dog that's just like in your face, and you're just like, you want to shoot him, but you never got the chance.
But he rolls in the scene with you.
Do you happen to have the intro music loaded up of Duck Hunt? Like somebody?
I sure do.
That's the dog barking.
That is so not the intro music.
Yeah,
it's the wins.
That's like the results screen. Yeah. But yeah. One of our users, Creative Assassin, ripped a huge amount of sound effects, gave us a zip file, and now we've got a bitch load of NES and Genesis sound effects. But the moment I heard that one, it just took me back to playing this game in the NES and dicking around with that fucking zapper for hours. And for some reason, I hadn't heard that tune in probably 15 or 20 years. That's all.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. Number 6. Number 6 is Poppy. Poppy from Samurai Showdown? I didn't know that was the dog's name.
I'm going to need your help here.
That is exactly correct. It's Poppy.
Poppy, huh? Is he the same sprite as Hanzo?
Is he the same sprite?
Same sprite. The Galford? He looks like the same sprite to me as Hanzo, the ninja from Samurai.
I think it's like a Ryu and Ken thing. That's
pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. So what did he do?
Samurai Showdown. What doesn't he do? He flies down from the sky. He'll run across the board. He does a lot of things that dogs don't usually do.
Hmm.
But he doesn't help you?
No, he does. He's sort of like an assist. Like, you can drop him down from the... He's sort of like a slash fireball combo, like assist.
He's sort of like all of Galford's special moves right there.
That's what Tyler mentioned. I have played Samurai Showdown, but I never played as a guy with a dog.
He's all right.
But he's very useful. It sounds like...
If I had a dog, I'd throw it. If I wanted to win a fight.
If you throw a dog at somebody, I guess it's going to bite them.
Yes. Fuck you, man. Yeah. Did that come together okay?
It will after another beer.
Magic.
Number 5, I
should
have
been preceded by a dick joke, though.
Look, I don't like myself enough as it is. Can we just go to number 5?
Number 5, I don't know anything about, named Shadow from Dead to Rights. Did anyone play Dead to Rights?
Michael did.
No, I didn't.
Really? Wiki Perez didn't hit up Dead to Rights.
No, I skipped that one because all the reviews were like really mediocre for it.
You read reviews?
Yeah, man.
Strangely, yes. Gross. Don't sit so close. I actually am scooting away from him.
The reviews have been compromised.
Apparently, Officer Jack Slate doled out delicious bowls of steaming justice with Shadow the dog, and then it bit people. I guess that's it. Number 4.
I like dogs.
Dogs are great. Keep in mind, you assholes try coming up with one a week.
Seriously. It's always the hardest and scariest games. We're going to take that category away, and I don't think I'll hear any more suggestions.
Here's a bit of background on the top 7s. Like, I'm the Nintendo editor technically, but I kind of wrangle most of the feature planning that we do, and... Oh, roll your eyes at me, you bastard.
I was trying to cue the right sound effect, but I missed. You were the what again?
Baby?
No.
Features master? I love Packard Bell! But yeah, the top 7 are always the first thing we pull out every month. Like, okay, every Monday, let's get down the top 7. And this month it was like, we've had this idea literally sitting on a list. Probably 2 years. Anybody want to do the top 7 dogs? And it was already Tuesday. And it's like, shit, this is doing like 3 days, huh? Let's just do the dog one, man. We've already got like 5 of them done.
That's right. Let's give it to Tyler, not tell him.
Yeah. But number 4 on the list, I demanded be on there because if you're an old school gamer, you probably know this game. Yamato from Shadow Dancer, the second Shinobi game. Well, third, I guess, technically. It's unlike any of the other Shinobi games. You have this dog with you the whole time, and you could charge up this meter and send this dog flying across the screen, and it would disable or disarm people. It was really cool. It was completely useful, and I don't remember any other game at the time.
I called him White Fang.
White Fang. He looks like White Fang. It's really cool. It's on Virtual Console, I think. If you haven't played it yet, you should.
You should pay $10 too.
Yeah, I'm slurring a little. That's kind of strange. I'm going to put that down.
Then, well, we did have like an hour and a half warm-up. Seth, I apologize. Please don't tell other podcasts what we sound like.
Well, don't tell my work that I was sitting here drinking beers for an hour and a half on a podcast.
But you drank beers to plug?
To plug all of Capcom's wonderful products.
Wonderful products at a retailer near you.
That's right.
Wait, I gotta balance that with something. What do I hate from Capcom lately?
What? This is outrageous.
It can't be too shilly. What do I... But that's the problem.
What do you got?
I'll say this. So far, I don't like Dark Void.
Damn, that's... Well...
I know, but everything we said we didn't like about Dark Void is because it's really early.
It's really early.
It's like 9 years away. So.
Yeah, it's very early, and I love every idea behind it.
All the things you don't like, those are what's changing.
I love
those
the style.
By the numbers, they're
what
all
What do we
changing.
Love most? Jetpack. We all want Jetpack.
Please.
Yeah.
It's the unofficial Rocketeer sequel.
You got me.
American hero kind of thing. You're flying around.
Number three, top seven canine companions / dogs. is another one I demanded be on here.
Does a wolf count as a canine companion?
What? I'm in the middle of a sentence.
Hold on.
Are you going somewhere with this?
I think I'm fucking up the top seven.
What? I don't know what you want from me right now.
You know what we need now is the sound effect of a record going off the needle. Like
I have just that. No, I don't actually.
If I could describe the image of a dog's ears going straight up in the air.
That's good.
Just bar?
Well, shit, I really did actually hit the wrong button that time.
Liar. Right, number three is the Transdimensional Dog from Secret of Evermore, a game I don't think anyone played.
No, nobody did.
One of my friends had it back in the day, which was 94, 95 when this game came out, developed in the US, which was really bizarre for the time. The dog changed. It was basically Secret of Mana made in the US at that point.
Oh, Secret of Mana? Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, I know that game.
I do, with a big stupid tree in the front. Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, it was a big tree. You got me there. Top seven trees. Holy shit. Secret of Mana. That's one. So, what else? Seriously, let's do this on the air.
How have you gone this many years without top seven trees?
Tree you play as in Otogi 2.
Sure, I've never heard of it, but yeah.
The instant Lord of the Rings games I haven't played.
Deku Tree from Ocarina of Time that gives you the first quest. Oh, man. There you go, internet. Free feature. Free.
Take it, slobs of gaming. It's yours.
Take it, game daily.
Let's move on.
Anyway, this dog in Secret of Evermore, it changes form each like era you go to. So in one part, it's like a big beastie dog in the past and a regular dog in the present. Weird toaster future metal dog when you go to the future.
What? I'm listening.
I ran out of things to say.
It is kind of a dog changing.
Number two is... it's an all right game, and the dog is really cool. You should Google it or something.
Or go to gamesrider.com and check it out.
Or something.
On our website.
In our website. Number two is Rush from Mega Man.
Rush. I love me some Rush.
Yeah.
What doesn't he do?
He does it all.
He doesn't turn into a helicopter, which I'm upset about.
I think he did. He flies. What the fuck do you need a helicopter?
He flies, but there's a difference between a jet sled and a helicopter.
So you want something that flies, but louder and slower. Got it.
No, I need something to hover.
It's hard to please.
No, I need something to hover. Do you know aeronautics, sir? Maybe you don't need to go 900 miles an hour over a target. You need to hover directly over it.
I guess you're going to have to find me.
Because Mega Man can shoot down. Oh, wait, no, he can't.
No, he can't.
Why are you going to hover?
I don't know. Just Sparkman asked me to.
This guy Killian.
But do you think Rush has been kind of diminished over the years? Like, is he any relevant to anyone over the age of like 15 or 20 at this point? Does anyone even remember Rush? That's not a fan of Mega Man.
He was in. He's in the other offshoot Mega Man games. I can't play for more than a third.
That's something I hate. Battle Network.
Come on. Not Battle Network. No, he's not in ZX's, is he?
Star Force?
ZX Advent was good. I'll give you that.
Yeah, ZX Advent was...
That was a cool game.
Like changing shapes? ZX Advent's
for you.
That
was cool.
Yeah.
I liked being the big... You could change into a whale. That if he wasn't in the water, he'd just go...
I was trying to play ZX, but my worst nemesis was Doors. I couldn't... couldn't. An insurmountable amount of doors. This is not Mega Man.
Well, Rush is a shape-changing dog that helps Mega Man through a variety of obstacles. It's amazing. Number one is... That's all, right? Rush? We good with Rush?
Yeah. Hey, we're not at number one. Rush isn't at number one.
I did his song, Limelight. That's about it.
Ooh.
Gross.
Rush that
out. Ooh. No, I will not have Rush joke on our podcast. I don't like that band. We had to play that. You were playing it. You should be miserable. And
I was playing it. I hated every moment of it.
Say what you will about Rush the band.
Okay.
Fine, okay.
Rush sucks.
That was not an invitation. Rush the band. All those songs were fun to play in Rock Band. We played the whole album last week on our DLC article, and it was fun. Number one, I don't understand because I didn't play Half-Life and can't stand it for more than 20 seconds.
Oh,
Wait. Damn it, you missed Seth, A or B?
Sorry, I'm going to go... let's go B.
Now you may say number one.
Number one is Dog.
Really? You're gonna bitch about Half-Life 2?
No, I'm not going to bitch about it. I just don't know anything about this robot dog from Half-Life 2.
You need to know is that he's awesome.
He's adorable.
Okay. Okay. He's a big fucking steel golem that lopes around and helps you out of tight spots.
Golem is made up of
clay and Jews. Yes, yes, Brett. You're gonna stay accurate. If you want to stay accurate to the folklore.
I did my research, and that's great.
So did I. I know what... What?
I did play Half-Life. I couldn't get into it. It just wasn't for me. It was way too boring for a shooter.
Really?
I honestly tried. I beat Portal and had Orange Box and thought, I'm going to play Half-Life 2. And 20 jet sled hours later, I was really bored of, you found the swamp rover. Follow it to the shed. Now, would you like a weapon? Sorry. Sorry.
You've just alienated every PC
Nobody
gamer who listens
cares.
To this.
You know what? Hey, everybody, Brett stands alone on this Half-Life.
I'm sorry I don't like one game on the list.
But it's Dog. It's He's a great dog.
What did he do? He killed himself? Sacrificed himself?
Whoa. Spoilers.
It says it in the fucking article.
I haven't read it yet.
So is it a spoiler for the article or a spoiler for the game?
Well, apparently he doesn't die because one of the comments is, doesn't die. So he was also from Kentucky.
I always felt like he ripped off Boxy from Battlestar Galactica. That's what I was feeling. Original Battlestar Galactica. You should check it out. The little kid has got a sweet bowl cut, not unlike yours.
Hey,
you don't have a bowl cut, but he's got sort of a similar haircut, and he has this sweet sort of cyborg dog. He's got a cyborg dog, and it looks a lot like Dog.
Really?
That's where I always felt it was coming from. Yeah.
I've only seen pieces of Battlestar Galactica in Space Mutiny, which is a fantastic movie.
I think that's the best way to experience the original Battlestar Galactica, which is
outrageously
boring.
Chopped up and used in an awful Canadian movie filmed in a boiler room. All the exterior shots are from a show from the 70s. All the interior shots are in the late 90s. I'm going to move new releases up because I want to make Seth a star in the second segment. I want to bombard you with questions, mister.
No.
Please.
Well, you heard the man. Let's cancel this whole thing.
Cancel.
No comment.
So coming out this week, we had get out the documents. Viva Pinata, Trouble in Paradise, which my girlfriend loves and has to review now because she said she liked it out loud.
Yep.
You know,
out loud,
she
mistake.
Was fingering a pinata donkey last week.
That's true. We got a pinata, right? And it had the review code inside of it. And rather than break the pinata...
Oh, I did not know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the review code was inside the pinata for the DS Viva Pinata, not the 360 one, though, which is not out this week. And off topic, sir, but since you brought it up, instead she opened up the pinata and used chopsticks and pulled out all the candy piece by piece to save this. And it's a very emotive pinata. I would have felt like shit. Splattering its brains everywhere.
Then, and she's just clinically digging through a pinata with chopsticks in the middle of.
So wait, you just walk by this scene and you see chopsticks at the butt of some pinata, and you're just like, oh, whatever.
Very seriously going through meticulously and pulling shit out.
Yeah,
I thought Carla was crazy pants.
Tyler Wilde actually made one of those inspirational posters of a picture he took, and it says determination because pinatas have feelings too. She's literally using one. Like taking piece by piece, one piece of candy, one piece of candy.
Like the Operation
Board Operation game. There you go.
Yeah.
Who's the most familiar with the pinata?
I probably am. It's a really fun game. Like people will talk shit about it. It's It's similar to Pokemon in the aspect that...
Would I talk shit about it?
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would talk shit about it. You cuss your own mother out on the podcast.
Get this, I won't.
Fuck her.
Wait a minute. You cuss your own mother out to her face, which is quite an achievement.
Don't bring her up to... Dude, you saw how she talked to me.
I saw how you talked to her.
Oh, Chris, I love you. Fuck your mother.
Fuck.
No, anyway. Oh, Chris, this game is so fun. Fuck you, Mom. Shut the fuck up. I hate you.
I love
we
my
have
mother.
Video of that.
In my own special physical way.
Fisty way.
Punch.
Whoa,
hello.
No mother punching. Not this episode. No, Viva Pinata. I actually really did like Viva Pinata. But it turns out you get to a point where you can't play the game unless you decide who lives and dies. And I can't really do that.
Yeah.
I got
500, exactly 500 achievement points out of the 1,000, and got to that the exact point you're talking about where I'm like, I'm done. Like, I got the garden I wanted.
Yeah.
It all looks nice. I have the pinatas I want. You can try to find all the super elusive ones. You can try to do all this crazy side game shit, but for me, I felt like I was done, and I don't even really want to play the second one now because I'm like, I already achieved what I wanted to. Even though and I watched Carolyn play it for like 2 hours last night. It looks identical to the first game. The same graphics, same sound effects, but 1UP gave it a fucking perfect score, I'll have you know. Which is not, like, if they fixed things about...
To be fair, they didn't give it a perfect score. Metacritic
yes, they did.
Metacritic gave it a perfect score.
Their perfect score is an A. They gave
not
it
an A+. Plus?
No, they give A's.
They don't give an A+. They give a plus to every other letter.
They give a fucking happy sunrise. I don't know what they give. But no, but
a
in their
moving
but,
clown. That's what this game gets.
But no, in their defense though, I mean, if they fixed what was wrong with the first one, it was already an 8 to us. Like when we reviewed it, we gave it an 8. If they fixed all that, I don't see why you can't give it such a high score. It's just really bizarre to see. I would never have guessed somebody giving Viva Pinata 2 that kind of score.
The surly shits at 1UP.
Yeah.
I love you boys, but really, you don't like a lot of stuff.
We have no fewer than 2 former Games Radar Ians working at 1UP, so no disrespect.
Hi, Mikey. Hi, Nikki.
My favorite part about the original Viva Pinata was once in a while I get a little full of beers and come home and log on to Xbox Live at like 4 in the morning and see friends online who are playing Viva Pinata at 4 in the morning.
Holy shit.
Friday
secret
night.
Shame.
Yeah, and it was like, whoa, really?
And now you can send snapshots of your pinatas to people.
This is me clapping my wrists together.
The most grotesque thing of Viva Pinata is the pigsy. I don't know if anyone saw this, where you can mix species and have interspecies fucking between pinatas. Romance dance, if I may. No, I'll say fucking. It's good. And you mix the pig. I don't remember what it was, with something else. I wish I remembered this shit. But what would come out of this unholy union is this weird deformed pig with wings that had a stutter and would limp because one of its legs was shorter than the other. And it just looked like it hated to be alive and knew what it was. And that's it. It's just really disturbing.
I don't know, keep going.
That's it. It's just really fucking, like, I was sad for it. I didn't even want it in my garden because...
Oh, who's a cute piggy?
No, what else? We had Facebreaker, which is scoring shitty, except for our last week's guest, Scott Butterworth, gave it a 7.
EA, thanks you kindly, Scott. What do you give it?
A 7 out of 10. Well, the equivalent, because P-Tom uses, like...
Because they give us...
Like, gold discs or something. Like
yes.
They use, like, semaphore signals, like...
Yeah.
Flags.
The aircraft carrier dude, just like, oh, yeah, you get one of these.
Scratch and sniff stickers. The more potent, the better the score.
Smells like skunk asshole, which
this
is
one smells
what
like new car.
Which is what they squeezed to make Heineken.
Holy crap, Elson! has anybody else played Pirates vs. Ninjas Dodgeball? That really just came out.
Nobody.
So don't look
that
it up.
Out like ages ago.
I thought so too. I played it in March.
I saw it. Just saw an ad for it on Xbox Live, so I think it's about to come out. I almost watched the trailer, but then I didn't.
It's exactly what you think it's going to be: a bunch of things dressed like pirates, ninjas, zombies. And robots throwing a ball without boundaries or reason, and unless they fixed a lot of it, I will not play it. Unless I'm paid, which, hello.
We ride the crest of the meme there, guys.
The other thing we had this week is Mercenaries 2. Michael, what's
your... How is it?
It's actually really good. I finished the PS3 version this weekend and really enjoyed it. It's buggy as hell, I'll say that. There's shit was happening like in the last part of the game where... You know, you can call stuff, like you can, you have a stockpile of vehicles and weapons, and you can call in a delivery via helicopter, and there'd be a lot of time I'd like throw out the smoke bomb, and they'd say, okay, delivery on route, en route to you, and then like the smoke would just dissipate and nothing would show up, and I'd have lost whatever it was I was trying to get delivered to me. But in spite of that, it was overall a pretty fun game, unlike the PS2 version, which should be viewed as nothing less than a deliberate insult to anyone who still plays games on a PS2.
Boo!
And, reasons that I went into last week's podcast.
Yeah, the article isn't up while we're recording, but by the time this article, the podcast is up, we will have, I think you're doing a comparison between Mercenaries 2 PS2 and Mercenaries 1 PS2, and our idea is that Mercenaries 2 actually looks worse than Mercenaries 1.
Yeah, IGN's review of the PS2 version backs up that point. They actually say that in there, so I'm quite happy it's not just us conjecturing.
The other big game this week, which I honestly couldn't care less that it's coming out, is Spore.
Weird.
Like, I don't... Well, there's too much openness.
I'm totally with you. I know what... If that game...
I applaud what it is and does, but it's just not for me as a gamer.
If that game gets its cock fangs into me... then I'll never be able to play all the other shit I want to play. Well, yeah. Have you seen the Spore creatures? For fuck's sake, there's cocks growing out of their nostrils and elbows. I don't know. I love Will Wright. I appreciate what he does. But like, it's not a game to me. It's not fun.
It's a challenge, not a game. So, like, I don't. It's like it's daring me.
It's just progression for the sake of progression. I get that, and I like it sometimes, but I don't know when it ends.
I predict what I'm going to do with it is I'm going to go out and buy a copy for full price, do nothing with it for 6 months, then lose an entire weekend to it, and never play it again.
All my experience with The Sims. You go, wow, I can't. This game won't let me stop playing it. All right. Get out of my computer.
That's just what happens with me in PC games in general.
What's weird about Spore is, like, you know, living in a city, anyone that's listening that lives in a city will see game ads on billboards, which, being from the Midwest, is totally fucking weird and foreign to me to see things I actually want to see on billboards. But here, directly above 101 South, which is the main highway that leaves San Francisco, the main way to get out of the city, a huge Spore billboard directly over the highway, which I've never, in the 3 years I've lived here, I've never seen a video game ad directly over, like, 8 lanes of traffic. That just blew me away. Like, I couldn't believe there's a... And all it is like a pink tentacle and a hurricane symbol and then the name. It's just... you figure out what it is, asshole. Go to EA.com/Spore.
I know we've had a lot of moments that, like, yes, I love being in this industry, but, like, when I got back from New York playing Grand Theft Auto, my neighborhood was covered, wall-to-wall with Grand Theft Auto 4 ads. I'm like, fucking yes. I have played this already. I am a part of this machine. You see that? That's almost me. And they're still there. I have no idea why. I don't know who's still buying Grand Theft Auto. It's on my list. I'm gonna get that game.
Well, there's some people that... there's still some... I was going to say only get games... I was going to say only get games for Christmas, but they should be over 17 anyway. And should have money and a job.
I'll go on record saying I don't give a fuck. Make sure...
I don't give a fuck. Like, whenever they were saying you needed to be 17 to buy Mortal Kombat, my parents were buying it for me when I was 12 because I'm like, hi, I'm not an idiot. I won't then go try to rip my own head off in the
sink. You know what? There was that recent crime they're pinning on Mortal Kombat directly or something like that. They're adults. They're of playing age. Who admitted openly to being influenced by Mortal Kombat to strangle a baby.
If Mortal Kombat didn't tell him, they were...
Isn't that the one where the guy, like, got high and beat up on his friend's baby sister? Yeah. Or something? Yeah.
But remember, it's not because he was high. It's Mortal Kombat.
It's exactly. Mortal, yes. Not the drug.
Right.
Kombat. Yeah.
That's so true. If only we could tax violent video games.
And real quick, I want to touch upon it. Klukluland.
Klukluland and Mario RPG on
Mario
the virtual
console.
Really? I have to say, I fucking love Klukluland. It's, as a kid, it was the weirdest game I always wanted. Like, I desperately wanted that game, knowing absolutely nothing about it, which is how it was back in the NES days, where if you didn't know shit about a game because Nintendo Power didn't write it, because there was no internet and no other magazines, you just saw an image of something like Klukluland. What is that? I have to have it. And I never played it until I was like 20. And that I don't know. It's,
yeah, actually, I don't know it that well. I actually was thinking of Choo Choo Rocket.
It's a one-screen game where all you do is...
not Choo Choo Rocket.
It's not that different the way you play the game from Choo Choo Rocket. It's more of a puzzle game than anything else. It's really fun.
I'm not going to play it because the other one is the RPG I've probably played the most times.
Really?
From front to back, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Mario RPG, for some reason, like, I beginning to end probably 10 times.
That's a weird thing to say.
Does that make me an ass?
No,
it's not an ass. It's just, it's weird. Mario RPG.
It may have been my first Squaresoft game ever.
It was quite good. It has, to this day, one of the best battle systems of any game.
Yeah, it's really, really
good. It keeps you involved, which is why a game like Mario Superstar Saga for Game Boy Advance is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. It's just really fast. You can't zone out. You're always involved. And if you've never played Mario RPG, go download it. Finish listening to the podcast, then
the
go
Quest
down.
For the Seven Stars. You know what? That's going to be the commercial I play, because that fucking the way that guy
Quest
chants
for the Seven Stars!
Always
no,
in my head.
Fuck that. Go download it right now, play it from beginning to end, then resume listening to the podcast.
Ooh, okay.
I did want to say, I wrote on our little notes that I said, there's a really shitty Wii game announced, and I want to surprise y'all with it. So here we go.
You get to pick the button, Brett. What do I push?
What are my choices? A and B?
Whatever you think would be funnier.
F. Just shit, where'd the name go?
Oh, no.
No, it's because the fucking headline is all over the place. Calvin Tucker's Redneck Jamboree.
What the fuck is that?
Get out your overalls. No, hang on. Get out your overalls and put your hair in pigtails. It's time for zany backcountry fun and silly southern antics. Zoo Games announced today the holiday season of Calvin Tucker's Redneck Jamboree, featuring a cartoon-style healthy dose of redneck humor and ludicrously slapstick competitions, multiplayer party game, sure to be a family hit night. I don't know what the fuck. Dynamite fishing game.
Do I get to lynch somebody?
I've got so many awful jokes to follow.
Oh.
That took me a while.
Well, you got your backyard shooting, you got your lawnmower racing, you got your Steve Newton, executive vice president of Zoo Games, says it's a new take on the Summer Olympics. Just letting you know now, there's a game to avoid when it goes down to $4.
All right.
Wife beaten.
You have to use both the nunchuck and the remote to shake the shit out of it.
You know what Jeff Foxworthy says? If you have to drive off onto a gravel road to fuck your sister, you might be a redneck.
Did he say said fuck?
No.
He did.
Christ.
That doesn't sound like the talk show that I know.
It's time to spiel, which his comedy never gets any different. Men are different than women. Over and over.
That's true, you know. That's true.
Men do this, and then maybe... I fucking hate that guy. He's on TV every 4 seconds. You know what? Fuck this. We're going to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk... to Seth killing it about a bunch of crap. We're going to hit you with some hard-hitting questions. Are you ready?
I am prepared. Nothing if not hard.
We're talking Mega Man. We're talking Street Fighter. We're talking other things.
Bionic shit you don't even want to know about.
Bionic Commander. That's a good idea.
Bionic Commander.
Go to GamesRadar.com.
I tell you what, I had this new fear. Because I know that I'm in a case of arrested development emotionally. I know that now. Because I realized, you know, like anyone could go to the video store near my house and see what I've rented the past year, it's fairly frightening, you know. Unbelievable evidence of an emotionally, you know, digression going on here. Porno movies and video games. What am I, 13 emotionally? You know what I mean? I'm sitting there looking at this receipt I got from them. It's like Clam Lappers and Sonic Hedgehog. That was one weekend. That was Easter weekend. Something's going on with me, man. That's a pretty scary way to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, with Clam Lappers and Sonic fucking Hedgehog. You know? My big fear now is I'm going to go rent a porno film at this one store I go to a lot. I'm going to go rent a porno film and take it to the front, you know, and give it to the guy, and he's going to do a little deed, and suddenly, you've just rented your millionth porno tape. Get a picture of him with it. Anal entry volume 500. He made it through every one of them. Give me the little trophy. Millionth porno tape. Wow, lucky fucking me. And along with Super Mario 2. I wish they combined video and porno. That would be great, man. You know, video games and porno films. I'd have high score on Clam Lappers by now. Interactive porno, that's the future, my friends. Then all dating will be history. Ah, well. Backed up. Look, this is Backed Up Willie talking. I always get my most depressed when I'm backed up.
Scores out this week. My favorite color's blue.
Like the box.
Good. I think that was a great way to start off this second bit. Yes, we're back, and we're back with that. And everybody always asks us how we got into this beeswax, and I got the most boring story. I applied after I went to college, and yeah, I mean, you guys are a little more interesting, but Seth is pretty cool, man. He's a homegrown. That's why we, you know, I don't think we'd have like a regular PR person on. I don't mean to say that you don't do that, but like,
no, I'm definitely not a regular PR person. That's, I'm always getting yelled at, so I know I'm doing it wrong.
You're a community manager.
I am.
What? How long ago did you get hired on by Capcom?
Say about a year and 7 months.
A year and 7 months ago, because partially, and I'd like to think because you knew the internet.
I did know the
gaming community, and oddly enough, the people who had been doing gaming business for so long don't know anything about that.
It's true. They started before there was such a thing as the internet, or before it was cool.
So how much did like your involvement stem from like Evo and anything like that? Or you used to run, what was it, Shoryuken.com? Or?
Yeah. So we started Shoryuken a while ago, so we're old school. We started on Usenet with the Alt Games SF2, and we decided that sort of sucked. Wow. So yeah. We're like, what's this website business? Let's start one of them. And we did. Wow. And with Shoryuken.com, and that took off, and it went a lot of places, one of which was a tournament, which has turned into the Evo Championship Series and become pretty much the biggest fighting game tournament in the world.
Oh, really?
People from all over the world come to compete. So, you know, I can't even count how many countries have turned out. Kuwait, Korea, Japan, wow. UK, France, Germany. Yeah, Kuwaitis are actually, you know, sitting on all that oil money. They got nothing to do but sit there and jam out on, get really good at Street Fighter.
You were telling us about this earlier, that like at EVO they'll play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, they'll play Street Fighter 3, but they'll also be like, I can beat you in thumb wrestling, I can beat you on standing on my head. Like, what's the craziest, like, you said something like, I dare you to jump off a roof. Did that actually happen, or...?
That actually happened. There's people who will take just about any bet you can name. There's tons of poker players, professional poker players. Oh. So
hey.
One of our longtime Evo competitors is Havad Khan, known as Havad Rain Khan. He got fifth in the World Series last year, and is a poker pro. He also, all the Evo guys are just like super tweakers. Like they're just super good at you name it.
Or so whatever they pick to go. To get into,
they go hard, they right? So Skill Crane, they'll rock the Skill Crane machines in Japan. Just like they actually, this is a true story. They won the last time the U.S. team went to Japan to compete. They won so much stuff at Skill Crane that they didn't have enough room for it in their suitcases anymore. So this, I swear to God, this sounds like BS, but it's true. So they found a Skill Crane machine that had suitcases in it, and they won a suitcase out of the Skill Crane machine and packed up the other stuff and sent it home that way.
Nice.
So it's like, you know, you name it. So the redemption games.
What skill crane is powerful enough to lift a suitcase?
I've seen them at Six Flags. Like,
really?
It's when like it's nothing but gravel and wheeze.
Wow.
Never works for me.
Skill shovel. But anyway, so yeah, this is like the Shoryuken stuff. But basically, I had a different career, to say the least. I used to teach college.
Really?
Yeah. I was that guy. I taught philosophy classes and also taught in the physics department.
You couldn't get a job at a philosophy company?
They were all full.
They were. Yeah.
The philosophy company was full. Yeah, so I used to teach at the University of Illinois. And
Champagne.
That's correct. Midwest.
Hey!
Midwest represent. But
I have no idea.
You're from Florida.
I'm from Florida.
It's a cornfield. It's cool. Yeah. There's a lot of drinking and math. So yeah, I would play Street Fighter, but I had this other career. But I would go and hang out with my friends at E3 in California. I just like games, so I go out there and sneak into E3 and hang out. And we were running these Evo tournaments, so they got pretty big. Like, thousands of people. So I'd, of course, go by the Capcom booth, because especially at that time, we were playing almost purely Capcom games. It's expanded a little bit. We'd hang out, and I'd go by the E3 booth, or in E3, I'd go by the Capcom booth and be like, "Hi, I'm, Seth. I got this tournament. We got, a few thousand of your biggest fans coming in from around the world. Could we get, like, a poster or a box of keychains or something?" They'd be like, "Buzz off, weirdo." And I'd be like, "Okay, all right, I'll see you later." I go look at some games and then, whatever. And I did that for a couple of years. And eventually Capcom got rid of those people. They told me to buzz off and hired some cooler people. And they said, "How about instead of a box of keychains, we'll give you a job." And so I was feeling kind of, burned out on the teaching thing and said, "Yeah, gotta try that." So that's how I came to Capcom, pretty much.
So if you're going to give a message to like anyone who's playing, playing any game and getting really insanely good at it, like maybe the professional gamer route isn't realistic, but like they could very easily if they moved to California.
That's true. And the secret is just keep hassling the company in question that you want to work for. Not me. Don't hassle me. But
right.
hassle some other company.
From working at a big company, companies never want to and or know how to start a community.
That's true.
And if they want to, they go about it the wrong way. So starting it out as a fan, I'd have no idea if it was difficult, but it does. If you're really interested in something, so I love Pets 2 Horses, so I'm going to create the ultimate Pets 2 Horses.
Yeah.
Ubisoft will probably give you a call at some point and give you some support. There,
I hope that's right. I mean, for us it was, or for me it's not that hard, because hopefully I have a lot of love for Capcom games. And, obviously I came from the Street Fighter world, but I really love a lot of Capcom games. It's a big part of my life. And
something I was going to ask, like directly relating. I think the thing that, like, all that, what made, what, it, fuck. that's what I have to say about that.
That's how you run an interview, ladies and gentlemen.
What started all of this to have you on and to talk about Street Fighter and everything was when we were at that Capcom event that I was blogging from, or podcast from, in podcast
Captivate.
3 in Captivate 08, was you were telling me how you used to be a Street Fighter hustler to some degree.
Hustler! God damn it, Tyler's not here, but he demanded that I cue this conversation with
I don't know what that's from.
Michael
that's
does.
Terrible.
Yeah, I have a dirty pass. I was like a pencil neck white kid, but internet, you're tough, right? So back in the day, before there was all this fancy video and whatnot on the internet, people just liked to talk a lot of crap about Street Fighter. So we were able to set up matches for a lot of money while I was in, high school and college, and just find some guy at some arcade and be like, "I'm the best," blah blah blah. Nobody really knew who was the best, right? Because you didn't see any videos. There wasn't any world championship, so we'd set up, we were like, we knew how good we were, and so we'd set up these matches and spend our summers sort of going out, mostly the East Coast. East Coast a little weaker than the West Coast at that point, so we stayed away from the West Coast. Set up these matches at random arcades all across the East Coast and play for money. So I played for $500,000 and got a little dicey. Yeah, it was got a little dicey. We'd drive out there.
Wait, $500,000?
No, $500 or $1,000.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow, I thought you said $500,000. Like, yeah, you better believe we did.
Cut out a little bit in the very middle there, so.
Yeah, no, sorry. No, it's a small change relatively, but it was enough to get people pretty angry. Like, when you go to their arcade and, you know, people had a lot of investment in their Street Fighter skills. You know, they still do. So it meant a lot. You know, you had a lot of pride, and, you know, some random dude you've never heard of shows up at your arcade and beats you down. So we had a few dicey situations.
Before I met you, before I started working in the games industry, I knew about Seth Killian.
So what's, like, the closest call you ever had? Like, was ever, like, I'm going to get my legs broken because of this? Or?
Yeah, I don't know if there's... I mean, I've seen, you know, knives pulled and fights and stabbings. Not me, but I know... See, that was the thing, is my touch is I knew when to get out. So
right.
I'd talk to my buddy and be like, hey... Go start the car. We gotta get out of here.
Cue up the car.
Running, like, and so, you know, the money would be there on the machine. You know, you win the match, you just grab it and be like, thanks, I'll see you guys later, and just run.
Oh, my God.
And you're out.
And what kind of stems from that is the same idea of, like, money sitting on a machine, the idea of it being a big deal. Like, I wanted to bring this up, that how big Street Fighter used to be, like, a lot of people listening now or even reading our site, GamesRadar.com. .com might not even realize how big arcades used to be. That Street Fighter, it wasn't just a popular game, it was like the only game.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if it was in a Pizza Hut, in a grocery store, in a well-lit arcade, in a fancy mall. It was like, no matter where you were, there was a line, there was a protocol, and like I don't know, like that's
and
that was
God
my
help you if you actually wanted to play and you were new to the arcade.
With me, I played every day at home. I lived in a small town. There was always someone I'd never met before who could beat me.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah, no, it was massive. And Street Fighter was sort of, you know, the arcades were sort of on their last legs. And Street Fighter came in and really brought it back, actually. It got arcades really hype again. And Street Fighter was really the king of the arcade. So, like, when you walked in, you know, it would be like, you know, you're whatever, you're on the Galaga machine, whatever, like, tweakers going for high scores. But the line was really at the Street Fighter machine, and that's...
There were quarters on the dash.
Quarters, tokens lined up around the block, and everybody knew who you were. And that was also the fun of walking into a new arcade, is because you sort of could see the pecking order, like, right there. But you knew you were going to get to the head of that line and crush them.
How much do you think you made Paul Newmaning people out of Street Fighter cash?
In a summer, I make maybe... $5,000-$6,000, you know, not a lot for a college kid. It's all right.
That's more than I've ever made in a summer ever.
Yeah. 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 How about what do you think about when Mortal Kombat showed up and there was like an almost immediate rift of like, I'm over Street Fighter. I now play Mortal Kombat.
I really want you to hate Mortal Kombat.
I got to tell you, like, I grew up in Chicago, and that's where I came from playing, and Midway's from Chicago, and so all the first Mortal Kombat machines were on test right next to the Street Fighter machines, and we played it for about 5 minutes, and we're like, this game is broke. This game is broken. It's retarded. So I admit, I like, you know, Mortal Kombat 2 and UMK3, but those were sort of playable, but Mortal Kombat 1, you know, it looked cool, but we knew that. There was no action on Mortal Kombat 1.
It looked like real peeper, dude, it's like Pit Fighter, but with like 8 people. It's insane.
And fireballs.
It was lame. So, I mean, we could see what it was, like a cheap grab for, you know, like, it's going, it was definitely sort of lowest common denominator type of stuff.
You don't have to trash it if you don't want to, but I still find it equally horrible and interesting, Mortal Kombat versus DC.
I played it, and you know, I know some of the guys on the team over there, and they're doing some interesting things. I mean, I think Mortal Kombat fans, I think, will like it.
Right, I'm going to take that as a diplomatic way of Seth saying he doesn't like. Yeah. But do they
ever come over to you and they're all like, "Yeah, in your face!" Like 9 years late.
Yeah, Ed Boon's been talking a little trash. I mean, I'll say what I said before, which is, you know, I think Mortal Kombat was sort of riding Street Fighter's coattails back in the day, and I think it's still riding them in 2008-2009.
What that brings, like, has it been a while? I know the Japanese have something going on, but the Capcom Versus series.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, Marvel started to make some money, so Marvel wasn't always,
does that make an Xbox Live online version impossible due to like a...
Well, it's not impossible, but you know, Marvel's got a lot more clout than it used to when we started making games. So they know we make great games. They have been open about their love for the games we made with them, and I know that they don't feel like the license has really done very well for them, you know, when they've sent out the Marvel fighting
license. It's been terrible.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you. Yeah, I remember I played Rise of the Imperfects like at an E3 a while ago, and I was like, oh God, like,
isn't it
stop? Do you have any inkling of how Capcom felt like when that came out, and they were like, they left us for this?
I think we were all laughing. So.
I can only imagine it was like a collective point in the direction of the building. Aha. The whole company.
That's pretty much right. So, I mean, we've been revisiting the Versus series a little bit. We've got this new Tatsunoko versus Capcom, which is... I wanted to bring up Yataman, who's a character in the Tatsunoko. Tatsunoko is basically like the Marvel of Japan. So they've been making cartoons since like the 60s. So they did Speed Racer, Battle of the Planets, as it's known over in America. And yeah, exactly. They've got tons of cool characters, and they're putting them up against Capcom characters in a very Marvel-style engine. So a lot of chain combos, a lot of dashing into a launcher, air combos, big super jumps. It's very Marvel-style.
Is it coming our way?
Well, there's some licensing issues on that one.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Doesn't Turner own Battle of the Planets, Ted Turner?
Yeah, it's all crazy. So it was intended as a Japanese-only release, but when I played it over in Japanese R&D when I was over there a few months ago, I was freaking out because I was like, holy crap, this game's super sweet. We got to bring it over. So I pulled a lot of favors internally and was able to get the Tatsunoko board at Evo for the Evo players to check out and play on that. And they were all loving on it. Because it's really, it's fun. It's like really free, open game. So Capcom US knows that it would have a market here. And if it's not, I think it'll be the most imported game of all time. The most heavily imported game of all time, because it's that fun. Really recaptures some of that Marvel magic.
Gio, you have a little bit of faith in the US?
It's a licensing issue, so that's always unsexy. But, I mean, they know that the fans really want it, so I'm pushing really hard for it internally, and hopefully we can make
it. Just seems like money on the table if you just can't agree on how much you want.
Yeah.
Like, ignoring... I don't know, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. So I'm like, well, how about instead of, you know, if it's a Speed Racer's a problem, how about we call him Hero Man and change his colors to green and bring out the same game over here? So, you know, we'll figure something out, I hope. Yeah, it's going to be hitting Japanese arcades in the semi-near future. And it's a super fun game. And I know U.S. players would really have a great time with it.
What about the SNK versus SNK?
Capcom versus SNK? Those games are great. We're still playing Capcom versus SNK 2 at Evo. There's a lot of really great players on that game, but I frankly don't know where our relationship is with SNK. Japanese business is a mysterious.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, like, because you're not going to be able to. It's doubtful that another port's going to come out of that. My friends are still playing it emulated online. It's the only option. I'm sure they'd love an official version.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we're doing a lot in the fighting game world, so hopefully if we can have some success with stuff like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, and of course Street Fighter 4, we'll get a little action.
Speaking of HD Remix, when is that coming out?
Yes. What would you like to know? Yeah.
So asked Evo and Anubis.
Yeah. One of our forum users actually asked, like, he really wants...
He called it Super Street Fighter 2 HD Ultra Cool Mega Championship Turbo Hyper Uber Awesome Remix Ultimate Edition.
Yes.
When is that hit?
Well... The good news is I think it will be sooner than you might think. So it's been a long haul, and, you know, we've had some struggles with the art. We want to really get the game where we want it to be, but... Really excited about a lot of the contributions. So
it's
had.
It's a very fan-driven game. Like the music and the art from Udon. The music is all from Overclocked, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. If I never do another thing at Capcom, I'll have this as my sort of, you know, personally happy with all the community involvement on this game. So, you know, we've got all the great Street Fighter fans at Udon doing the art. We've got the OC Remix guys doing the music. They're great Street Fighter fans as well.
Yeah.
Being tested by Evo players, and really all the greatest champions of the game have come in to test it. So it's been fan-tested. It's designed by a longtime fan player, and I hope it's going to be really great.
So this one, Fuck, I totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, Elfton.
No, I'm trying to think. There's a specific question.
You want me to go? I got questions.
Hang on a second. Not, there was a really,
back to me.
All right. There was a very pertinent. I'm trying to think.
Oh God, he looks in pain.
I hate it was one of those where I'm like, oh, what I was. I remember now. The level of involvement, like you personally have with HD Remix as a whole. I found out that like Capcom US actually owns Street Fighter and gets to decide what happens to it. But then in the case of Mega Man, it's still totally Japan's thing. Like, when did that switch to where Street Fighter became kind of U.S.'s territory? Because it seems like it obviously came from Japan initially, but...
Yeah, it did come from Japan. There's sort of complicated financial stuff going on with, like, who owns which IP and how that works, and you have to pay some sort of massive tax when the boat of money sails back to Japan or something.
Right.
So, Capcom U.S. has come to own the Street Fighter IP, so yeah, we are able to call the shots on that, which is how we're able to do a project like HD Remix, but
right. That
happened before my time, the transfer of IP, but I'm sure the story is
right. Sexy
only to tax lawyers or
right. Something
like it's not.
So then what was wrong with the SF2 Turbo that came out on XBLA a couple of years ago? You're making a face.
Yeah, well,
it's gritting.
It's funny because we do a thing, you know, every week we have a little play against Capcom session where, you know, we play against people from the community and just fans, and somebody had actually requested to play Street Fighter Hyper Fighting online, and I had to play that, and that is one of my favorite Street Fighter 2 games, but playing it online was so painful that people in the office were making fun of me because I was shaking with rage. It was like some guy just did Honda's underhand slap to me like over and over again, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I was like, I would smoke this guy like 1,000 times in a row, and I just got owned by stupid tactics.
So was it lag, or was it just they balanced it poorly balanced? Or
well, it's an original. It's a straight port of Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, which is a great game. Doesn't need it. There are no balance changes made. It's a straight port. But yeah, the online was so bad that it's like you jump and then you want to kick. You need to hit kick like almost as soon as you jump to be able to land like a jump kick.
Yeah. This is the guy. If people saw the video of somebody beating Tyler Nagata with one hand.
Yeah, that was tough.
That's one of my old hustling tricks. So, you know, you lose, then I offer to play you with one hand for double
or
nothing.
Have you ever used it to maybe get laid? If I can beat you with one hand, ma'am, you owe me a trip to the dumpster. I said ma'am. It was polite.
There are probably girls who that would work on, but I'm not sure they're girls you'd want to lay. So it's a little tricky that way. It's
all little Ellen Hondas.
there's ladies of Street Fighter.
I thought that
there's...
was way funnier. You guys suck. Ellen Hondas. Fuck you guys.
I'm smiling big. Yeah, I got a bunch of party tricks. I'll play with a bag on my head. I'll play with, you know, so I can play blindfold or with one hand. Or
see that blind dude? He can play Budokai by sound alone.
Yes, there's a Mortal Kombat player who plays by sound alone as well. Who actually, one of my friends was totally chumped by jumping across the screen and doing moves at the wrong time to try and bait the blind guy.
The blind guy.
I was like, you are going to hell, my friend.
But, I'll show you who's got the eyes now. Where are you going, Blindy?
Yeah, that's YouTube Gold, the blind Mortal Kombat player. It's pretty funny.
So Edge Online just reviewed Street Fighter 4. You may have seen. I don't know or not.
Holy shit.
I don't read reviews.
Come on. Why not that one? It was one of the most gushing reviews I've ever read in my entire life.
No, they've got the Street Fighter fever. I think people are really psyched up about the game, and I think not for no reason. It's sort of, I'm feeling good about it. It's sort of recapturing some of that same arcade magic that you were talking about before. Just sort of there's some heat around the game. People are remembering what they were excited about. New fans, I think, will be able to pick it up and play and hopefully get involved in the same kind of thing that's really driven gaming for a long time. So
I gave up around Super because I met friends who were way... I couldn't get that good in a million years. Like, I was just playing casually, and they just...
Yeah.
Hold me down and fart in my nostrils every time I try to play.
It's the original teabag, yeah.
And then they're some of my best friends, so I've watched these games played over and over again, but I've known I've never had what it takes, but for some reason I feel like Street Fighter 4 is a fresh start. Maybe I can...
It is. It's a brand new day, and actually, I think, you know, if you played the original Street Fighter 2 and remember what was happening there, you'll be
right
Street Fighter 4.
So what's the balance with 4 between, because 3 was very technical, And I feel it, like, despite being gorgeous to look at, alienated a lot of the casual people who were like, I just like playing as Ken and doing dragon punches all day. but then 4, I read, like, it's easier to pull off moves and combos. Like, is it wrong to say it's a regression, or is there just a new way of fine tuning to make it still very technical while not being so dense?
Believe me, there's plenty of stuff for the hardcore players to tweak out on in Street Fighter 4. There's a lot of really, you know, if you want to take it to that level, there's a lot of things that you can do technically, but as far as...
What? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but the barrier to entry, I think, is lower. So people can pick up and play and feel like they're, you know, they're not out to sea or getting, like, blown out before they even know what's happening.
What about the mid-core? Mid to sub-core, like me and Michael. No, I'm just kidding. It's just
the people who only, like me, who only use the fierce and roundhouse attacks.
That is a good strategy.
I'm going to need some map to run around in so I can talk to characters and then fight them. I find a jewel, and then I finally get to fight the Halsey. Mo, you found my favorite nose ring. give me that back.
I think you're going to have a chance. So also, you know, for the online stuff, they're looking at doing, you know, a little more ranking, and you know, you can play against players that are sort of at your same level of experience.
I saw that on the HD remix, the online system that was like being at an arcade where you put your shit down and you had to watch the players fight it out.
Quarter match. That's
quarter
right.
Match. Yeah. That was really goddamn cool.
Yeah, it's great. So you can sit there and, you know, learn things from people that you're watching and be like,
you're about to go up against,
oh, this guy throws a lot of sonic booms. All right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like, I know what I'm going to do against you, buddy. So, yeah, there's a lot you can learn by watching online, but I think Street Fighter 4 is definitely a new day, so get back in there, start swinging.
Fuck, I'm trying to remember what we wanted to go into.
Well, like, directly related to Street Fighter, Shane, who's not on the podcast this week, posted a video.
Fuck.
I know, his car broke down, what are you going to do? the controllers, breaking controllers in slow motion, which was just really, really fun to watch. If you haven't watched it, like, go watch it. It's on the site now.
RayTunes, great star.
You threw your back out, I think, throwing an Xbox like a bowling ball multiple times.
I hit it with a sledgehammer like a golf club. I hurt. I was so out of shape. I did it maybe 10 times. I hurt for days.
But coming off of that, it made me realize, like,
somebody put on Dig.
Yeah,
if you've ever broken a game controller, I don't believe you.
Yeah. Some people think people don't break controllers, and I have broken no fewer than three, all three of which are from fighting games, and they get progressively lamer as I go. The first one is actually, I didn't even break a controller. I broke a window because of Street Fighter 2 Turbo on level 8 on Super Nintendo.
I broke my ASCII pad
because M. Bison is a fucking prick. And I literally stood up out of pure rage, like, I don't know what to do. Elbow the window.
Cycle this motherfucker.
And then I immediately think, I shouldn't have elbowed my window. Now I got to explain to my parents, I don't know. I was opening it, and it broke.
I was playing with you kind of set aside the shitty controller for your friends when they come over and play. Like, I broke my friend's controller.
The one that's got peanut butter all over it.
It's the one, the ASCII pad with all the multicolored dials on it. Oh, we can't play anymore. It wasn't bad.
The other one was, ironically guessed earlier, was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter, which was one of the cheapest, shittiest fighting games I remember from the 16-bit days when, like, I don't know, we need a one-on-one fighter, guys. What do we got? Well, we have the Ninja Turtles license. All right, Michelangelo will shoot fireballs from his mouth, and
we don't know anything about him. Oh, he has an orange headband. Fire. This guy is all about fire.
I actually, in anger of fighting War, the big purple guy with, like, tent, like, claws.
Eggplant.
I lifted up my fist and brought it down in pure rage and shattered a controller just with my fist out of fucking anger at that. The other one, even... lamer of all.
What?
Playing Clay Fighter. And kept losing to The Blob. And just started kicking my Entertainment Center uncontrollably. Everything fell off the Entertainment Center. Everything.
That's what I remember when I was getting my ass kicked in the hardest level of Street Fighter. It was the last one I didn't beat. It still didn't. I'd have to hold the controller under my knee so it would be in the proper position for me to punch shit over and over and over and over.
We'll be selling new Street Fighter 4 controllers, which are covered in pillowy Nerf material.
Recently there was... Was it Mega Man 9 you've been playing that you actually threw a controller because of?
Mega Man 9 is quite a challenge, but it was Bionic Commando. This
oh, the challenge.
Challenge rooms. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
we keep wanting to give this award out, but it keeps going to Capcom. The Not Fucking Around Award
yeah.
would go to Bionic Commando, Mega Man 9 are not fucking around.
No.
They will kick your dick in the dirt if you're not careful.
That's actually one of the, yeah, it's on a whiteboard somewhere in the corporate boardroom.
Like, God, please put that in the back of the box.
Kick I would dicks love into dirt.
Games Radar says it will kick your prick in the dirt. I said dick!
I've been misquoted again. That's marketing, guys. Yeah, I imagine Ben Judd's laughing head every time I fail on one of those challenge rooms. And
have you played the Games Radar challenge room?
Oh, yes.
I don't know what to do.
I'll show you later. It took me only 400 tries.
Jesus.
I don't have a problem. No, it's those challenge rooms are... I mean, the actual game is challenging, but those challenge rooms are... By yeah. the end, you're just... They're punishing, but in a brilliant way. So if you're like me and you can't resist, someone lays down the gauntlet, you got to step on that and be like, yeah. But I threw, fortunately, not a wireless Xbox controller. It was wired, so I thought I ruined my port, but it didn't actually hit a window because it was jerked back by the,
nice.
The cord. But yeah, it was level 40, the challenge room on Bionic Commando.
Really?
It was driving me up the wall. So,
I have to go see which one that is.
We are cruising, but we brought up Clay Fighter and Ninja Turtles Tournament. What are your least favorite fighting games or your guiltiest play? I just want to bring up some obscure, dumbass fighting games.
Obscure, dumb fighting games.
I remember waiting in line for Primal Rage, and I still don't feel right about it. Like, it's time I want
that. Yeah.
That wasn't terrible.
I have to say, I was one of the best Primal Rage players you'll ever meet. So I play a lot of fighting games pretty seriously.
Who'd you play as? Diablo? Come on.
Diablo, not that tight. Raptor. Raptor is almost up
to... I'd say Raptors.
What was that guy's name? Talon?
Yes.
Talon. Hey, look at me. Look at me.
We have our own names, so yeah.
You don't want to talk shit about Brutal?
I will talk a little, not about Brutal. I think my guiltiest pleasure was Bloodstorm. I don't even know if you remember this game. This game is like almost like a parody of like a Simpsons. Like, the Simpsons tried to parody it, but the parody was...
That was the sequel to Time Killers, wasn't it?
Yes. It was made by the same Time Killers people. It was Time Killers is my other guilty pleasure. So I would just mash all five buttons and try and cut your head off, and it worked like almost every time.
No Eternal Champions?
Eternal Champions was pretty cool, actually.
Weapon Lord?
Weapon Lord, actually, I know a lot of the... Actually, one of the U.S. champions of Street Fighter right now.
Really?
Worked on Weapon Lord.
Really?
Yes.
That was like a game where they tried to mix in fatalities that had to be part of a combo that was also the finishing blow. I did one once, accidentally, and thought it was the coolest thing that I'd ever seen. And
then turned around. Did anybody else see that? It was like that royal flush that I got in my online poker game.
Yeah.
So come on! Oh, shit.
I think my guiltiest Capcom pleasure is Cyberbots. So I play a lot of Cyberbots. Yeah, sort of like a mecha fighting game.
That was supposed to revolutionize the genre.
Yeah, it was out in America for about 2 weeks. Over it.
What did you think about Rise of the Machines? Rise of the Robots.
Rise of the Robots. Can't put me in front of a fighting game that I can't... You know, like, even Castle Crashers I'm tweaking out on. I'm just like, I got an infinite
That's
combo.
That's really fun.
Castle Crashers. Any game that has a combat system, basically, I will nerd out on. And
so we were talking about that, because Street Fighter kind of invented a combo.
So, right. I mean, I you know, obviously everyone knows Street Fighter, but I feel like it doesn't really get some of the props it deserves, because, I mean, things like... idea of combo, right? I mean, that's so everywhere in like any game with a combat system. That's Street Fighter. The idea of interrupting one move with another move, like a move into a special move, that's Street Fighter.
But it was kind of an accident, though.
Well, it was, right? Because the Street Fighter 1 controls were so crappy that like nobody could throw a fireball or do a dragon punch. Like, you try a million times. But so what they did on Street Fighter 2 is relax the timing window on that. So there was a larger window where you could do your input and get out a move, a special move. But what that accidentally created was that you could be doing a normal move and then interrupt it with a special move, and it would cancel the animation and go straight into the special move.
I've ever been. It really is.
So, I mean, that was a brilliant accident. One of those sort of like, you know, creation of flubber.
I love that. It was like a minor flaw that people learn to, I don't want to say exploit, but
No, yeah, I mean,
but like the next Super Street Fighter game, like there's points. There's points for learning these systems.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's just a ton of fun. It's in so many games that you don't even think about it anymore. It's second nature, and you know things like the fireball motion, all these kinds of things are just all it's all from Street Fighter. So,
what about Killer Instinct?
I just read there's news this week. Killer Instinct has not been confirmed, but somebody turned up sheet music from Killer Instinct 3, and I can't get much information on it, but people say, oh, music, I can't read English, let alone a lot of music. I don't know what the sheet looks like.
Like, I'll admit I was completely obsessed with Killer Instinct. Like, I was in Super Street Fighter 2, and then immediately moved to Killer Instinct for no goddamn reason, and it was all memorization. Like, I would buy a book every combo and then just memorize Sabrewulf's combos and then go do them by rote memory. And
dude,
then
the 64 version told you the combos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like, hey guys, look, I won. I memorized the most. When it's like, there was no skill involved at all.
It's one of those games, Killer Instinct, because I want you to dump some shit on these games, like, which Killer Instinct, I think, holds up. As much as I played it, my friends played it, it's an embarrassment.
It was like a mass hallucination we all enjoyed and then agreed,
yeah.
We were all crazy. That was our 60s.
That was, we were waiting for the Ultra 64, and what we got was the Nintendo 64. It's
the
not our 60s
fault. Of fighting games, yeah.
It was KI Gold.
The salad days.
All I can say is, you know, if you think a game sucks, or like it's broken, or I got this infinite combo, whatever, come to Evo, check it out. The best Killer Instinct player, I swear to God, the best Killer Instinct player is one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
Director of Evo, Joey Cuellar, is the best Killer Instinct player. Like, they'll go... They'll bet $1,000 just casually.
What is this?
He hasn't played the game in like 5 years. Someone will bet.
One of my best friends, MB, gave me a lot of these questions, and he has a Killer Instinct machine in his house.
These guys will go fly hard. Sick Dick, Joey Cuellar, Mr. Wizard. They'll go head to head on Killer Instinct right now.
You hear
for
that,
any amount of money, because they are super serious about that game.
Oh my god!
So if you think the game is broken, they will take it to a whole new level of abusive brokenness where you don't even know what happens.
Like, I get nervous just you describing it. Like, I've somehow lost money just in this conversation.
That's correct. Check your pocket.
Oh, what?
Just bringing back all kinds of bad memories of memorizing Cinder's combos that were all like forward punch, forward, forward punch, yes. Forward, 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 forward punch.
I'm not too proud to say that I bought a move list for Street Fighter 2 off some dude in the arcade for $5.
Oh, man.
Like a Xerox move list. It's like, this was the internet of like 1991.
Oh, it's so awesome.
That was like a little kid.
It's printed out shady with a dudes in the logo arcade. In the upper right hand corner.
Exactly.
I must know these special powers.
Hey, man. I'm surprised, like, as much time as an 11, 12-year-old kid most of us spent in arcades, something awful didn't happen? Like that no,
yeah,
that
I was
no,
never fingered.
That no predator, that no predator never. Guy was ever like, dude, there's a ton of fucking little kids.
I bet that's probably...
preteen boys hanging around this machine.
Part of shutting
totally
it down.
Supervised.
It was the tiny little corner the parents would babysit in. Look, I'm going to go get my feet done or whatever the fuck my mom was doing. And they didn't throw me in Tilt or the Barrel of Monkeys. I don't know what you guys had.
And here's 10 bucks. Go nuts.
That's what they called it before the Cyber Station. They revamped it.
Why not just... That's actually why I got good at Street Fighters, because you got 10 bucks. My mom gave me 50 cents. Like,
yeah,
here you go.
No, no, no. My
like,
mom would...
I'd be like, crap.
I had a $5 allowance. It pains me so much. I love games. I had to start... I'm just losing money here. I'm getting my ass kicked. I just started playing games for tickets so I could walk away with something. And then I'd buy the Sticky Pop, and then I'd go upstairs to the Pit Fighter machine that I kept losing at, and I'd squeeze like the the liquid lollipop on the red buttons. Every red button.
Now who lost money?
Fuck you guys.
Seems like we're probably good for time here.
I still have so much. There's a couple more things I want to talk about.
All right, fair enough.
No, you want to bring up...
We were talking about the El Fuerte Infinite.
The El Fuerte Infinite. Yes. So yeah, that is an infinite combo. Like, it's Standing Fierce canceled into Run, and then you can cancel the Run with Jab again. You stop immediately, and then you can do another Fierce.
Isn't it? It looks like a completely different move in the video that's going around the internet.
It does, because he's doing it so fast. So when people say that, like, you can just crank this out, like, you could probably practice as like a person who plays Street Fighter but is not like crazy, you know, crazy hardcore. You would probably never be able to do that for more than like two times in a row. It's extremely difficult. That said, like, yeah, it's an infinite. El Fuerte's got an infinite combo. Good luck hitting me with that Standing Fierce. So anyone wants to play me for money with El Fuerte, I will mow you down, like, over and over again. So
the internet caught a flame with, like, this, oh, look at this, it's the game, it's already broken. And they're like, they didn't even watch the video.
Well, yeah. Most of them probably will never play the game and just be like, oh, broken game.
And then I want to link to this, because one of the news stories this week was about Rock Band's DLC list and how Nirvana Nevermind, Rockstar never confirmed it. I'm like, you fucking cop-outs. You're lying. You're lying. And then I went back and I looked. They never fucking confirmed it. There was one news story on, I'm sorry, Future CBG, that said, according to reports, and linked back to its own article.
Oh, God.
That Nirvana Nevermind was coming out. And I can, if you were Hermod, you work for a company, like, would you want to step in and refute that? No, it would only help you out.
Right.
And Rock Band never said that. But in every issue, all the coverage we ever saw, we always heard Nirvana Nevermind was coming. And GameSpot was the only people to look into that and say, I was just pissed when I saw the El Fuerte thing. Like no one seemed to, like, even watch the video they posted on the hyperbole they put in the title. Yeah. And that Nirvana Nevermind thing made me like who said this originally? And it turns out no one. It's the wonderful thing about the internet, no accountability.
It's a tempest in a teapot, but I'm surprised it got this much coverage, because there's infinite combos in most Street Fighter games.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Like, you can play it anyway. So, I mean, the question isn't whether there's an infinite or not. It's whether that actually makes them the best character, or even dominant or strong character. And I think the jury's still out on that. Like, El Fuerte is not that strong.
The great thing about playing that live is, even the players who learn that cheap ass move, if you keep, you'll make no friends. The whole thing is gone. Of showing up to an arcade, it's kind of a community aspect anyway. Everybody will hate you.
Yeah, it's you know, in Japan, El Fuerte is not pulling down. You know, it's not like, you know, you don't look at the leaderboards and it's not just El Fuerte all the time anymore. Like,
yeah,
it's part of the game, but. That's what's great about it. I mean, that's actually one of the things I love about Street Fighter and about fighting games in general, is finding really abusive, awful things you can do to people and just, like, pushing it as hard as you can. And, yeah, like, finding ways to beat that, finding ways to take it to the next level. And that's, you know, I don't think El Fuerte Infinite is going to really make any kind of difference in the long run.
It'll take me so long to eventually play as El Fuerte anyway. I gotta get through all the old boys first before I hit the new ones.
Yeah, El Fuerte, actually, I really like. He's a ton of fun.
Have you played yourself yet?
Seth has not been announced as a playable character. So
I know, but he's in Street Fighter. He's a playable character.
But just like Gil was.
If I had played as myself, I would report that he was fun.
And we would be remiss if we didn't ask, where Cammy? Where Teeth? Where T-Hawk?
Yeah.
Where DJ?
Yeah, come on.
I know.
You're scraping the barrel there.
I played with him so much because he was so big and dumb.
Just T-Hawk. Dan Hibiki. Where's Dan Hibiki?
Dan Hibiki.
Are we going to see him again?
I love Dan. I don't know. I think he'd be great in Street Fighter 4, so I'm pulling for him. I think there's a chance. You know, there'll be more news coming up soon. Cammy, actually, we did a poll on the site, which is supposed to be binding, but we'll see. A community poll about which character people most want to see in. Cammy won. Cammy won by a landslide.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, so Ono-san has been very gracious about that, and I know is, you know.
Is there DLC on the way? Nothing's ruled out as far as...
They haven't talked about anything like that, but I don't think they're going to, you know, push too hard on the DLC kind of front. I mean, we want people to be playing these characters. We want people to be having fun with the game right out of the gates, so... Yeah, hopefully it'll be...
The longevity that every Street Fighter has had. Like, what, you don't... It's not unfair for Capcom to ask for $8 for a couple more characters.
Well, I appreciate
you kind of did it a lot.
What if we ask for $90 every year? We'll give you a whole new...
You did. You asked for $50 back with my SNES.
Yeah, but we pay, you know, you got your money. That's a great game.
And here's my final Street Fighter question. Please. Because I know we're losing the younger audience who hasn't played much of it, but I don't. I am having so much fun. who is the gayest Street Fighter character? That was a question from the forums.
That is a fair question. So there's many things I've learned. Since
don't say Vega. He's
no Vega pretty. Is not even close to the gay. In fact, I don't.
I say Sagat. I think he's the gayest one.
Sagat, gayest. Wow. I had that's You're changing my whole... Okay, so...
I think the thing on his chest is a sperm burn.
What the fuck?
Wow.
What? He was having lots of gay sex out in the sun.
Sperm burn, even a word? I don't think that's a word.
Oh, apparently nobody's...
Jesus, Chris, we've got company, for God's sake.
Hi, Seth. Love to you.
Where's HR?
Directly above us.
I think my money would be on Eagle. He's got the fancy ascot. Or Zangief is widely considered in Japan, is acknowledged as... He
is an icon for the bear community.
Yes.
And he likes to wrestle bears. Michael, this is help me out here. The Geef expert.
Yeah, you're right.
Tidy Whitey.
He also scares the shit out of Brett whenever I do that grab move he has. And just
funny bear grab. That's right.
Brett's like, oh no!
That move's good in Street Fighter 4. Get ready for it.
I know. Every time I did, I'm like, I can't avoid this. And
it's legit, yeah. I like that move. It's the best. Because you see it come, you know you're going to get screwed. And then you're like, ah.
Wait, who's Eagle?
Eagle is... Yeah, he's got little batons and an ascot and kind of a haircut and some
from
fancy
Alpha?
Paint. He's in Capcom vs. SNK 2.
Okay.
Also in Street Fighter 1, yes. He's a legacy character.
Fucking beautiful.
oh, that guy. Okay.
Yes.
The one I'm taking with.
I'm trying to answer all these forum questions really quick. Trophy support. Where's Capcom at?
Trophy support. Trophy support's a little bit new, so we're trying to get caught up on that front. It's definitely something we're looking at going forward. But right now, it caught us a little bit with our pants down. You know what?
I think it's going to be abandoned. That's pretty much where I'm at with it. Nobody gives a shit but pixel junk, apparently.
Well, it's because they were like... Right now. It's because like Gamerscore was like, oh, there's a point. Okay, now I know what it's kind of worth, except for fucking buying a commando gives you 5 points for beating the game on super hard. Trophies, meanwhile, don't mean anything. It's like, I've got a trophy. That's it. Like, it doesn't mean anything. And it's supposed to be tied into home. Nobody's going to walk around home.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We can't start talking about home. We all have high hopes for that.
I don't. I think it's useless. I'll say that right now.
You know, I could play Second Life now for free.
Yeah, I wanted to go through all the shit. Smashing Pumpkins, Guitar Hero, boom, exclusive track. I'm doing the wrap-up. Pre-order Metallica from Best Buy, then they took this down that you'll get 11 free Guitar Hero tracks, and the album's only 10 tracks long. I've never wanted to buy a Metallica album before. I'll say ever. Because, you know, I steal their albums ever since you shut down Napster, which I fucking love!
Everybody did. Like, that ass.
God damn them for wanting to get paid.
Get paid, motherfucker! Every concert he holds, they get $1 million. Shut the fuck up. If your kids are that hungry, your kids are, no, whatever. I want to see if that comes back up. I'm going to link to the forums as soon as it is, because I think we should start linking to great price deals. So buying a really shitty album for $9 to get 11 Guitar Hero tracks, pretty
good. You get
to
choose the tracks?
No, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, Death Magnetic, the whole album is coming to Guitar Hero.
Boring.
Holy shit, fuck off, Elston.
Who cares about Metallica these days? Like, really?
They wrote Battery, motherfucker. Did you write Battery? Did Happy Hardcore do Battery?
Fucking Saint Anger came out, what, like 5 years ago and did this? And then...
You know what? Here, this is a challenge to you and Aqua. Cover Fuel. Let me see how that works out.
Every time I hear about Metallica these days, it's always some like heartwarming story that I hear. It's like, oh, what a great dad. Like, there was a thing recently at
a school in
Marin County where, like, they were doing a production of Grease, and I guess the role of... I haven't actually seen the play, so forgive me if I'm wrong. I think it's Angel, is traditionally played by an adult, and I guess he drives a car on stage or something.
What?
Am I just totally...
Bye-bye Birdie?
It could be Bye-bye Birdie. I don't know.
I think it's Bye-bye Birdie.
The point is, nobody cares.
I've never sound gayer.
Anyway, and it's like... And one dad stepped forward to take the role, and it was James Hetfield.
They were like the metalheads that their albums were being burnt when I was a little kid. I was afraid of them. And now they're the status quo. All the rednecks have accepted them. And I live in San Francisco now, and every time I go around with friends, James Hetfield owns that. It's just this huge building. He owns everything. He's... Fuck those guys. Irrelevant.
You are taking money out of his children's mouths.
His children's mouths? How much money? Every time I talk, I take $2.
They eat money. Celebrities are different from mouth. You and I. Money sandwich.
When you bring up money going to their mouths, I've never felt so vampiric. I just want to rip their trachea out and suck the trust funds out of the throat hole.
Well, that's where it's kept.
I did
want to mention really quick on
too
news.
Bad. No, too bad.
No, here it comes.
Too bad. Mention it.
There's a new...
Can't.
There's a new metallic silver DS coming out next week. That's it.
Yes,
that's all I wanted to say.
Did you say Metallica silver?
Metallic silver DS. Light.
It's like a regular DS, but a different color.
Yeah, it's basically nice. The first DS that came out in 04, that color.
How much more can I pay for that privilege?
$120.
Oh, they haven't ever lowered the price.
Is that all?
Yeah, they've never lowered the price because you people won't stop buying it. Stop it.
Yes, there's no more Cookie Mama's
Funds. As a Nintendo editor, I'm imploring stop buying Wii so they'll stop making it.
I only have to mention it real quick. Dan Amrick, like last week I complained about the bank job and I had to fill out all that information. Dan Amrick just came in here and handed me a DVD copy of the bank job from Lionsgate Entertainment, who can go fuck themselves for not sending me a copy of my own. So, fuck them and Sony. I'll never order from the network again. I have a physical copy.
But thanks to OXM for giving it to me.
Thank you, OXM and Dan Amrick. Seriously, everybody should subscribe to that magazine. They make it a free DVD. Dead Rising, PS3, never, ever.
Well, we got the Wii. What do you want?
Look, our podcast will rip you apart for that.
Come on! we're only human. We're not Microsoft.
Well, clearly you're not exclusive now. All right.
Give us a chance. Give us a chance. We'll make you happy. All Dead Rising fans will be happy eventually.
So basically that's saying Dead Rising 2 is coming to PS3.
That is not what I said.
That's what I'm inferring.
He was just talking about happiness.
Making the Capcom firing laser target this building.
Really? Well, that means it's true then.
You can answer with a quick... You know, not even really. We talked about last week about the consolidation of all companies. Nintendo Nerd 655 asks, will you ever sell your company to EA or Activision?
Well, I think that's your call.
That is actually my call. It's one of my, in addition to community management, I'm also in charge of corporate sales.
Is there a kind of a fear that the offer is going to come on the table, or...
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Capcom. It's sort of a family shop, right? So it's owned by the Tsujimoto family, who are, they're cool, right? I mean, they have their own ideas, so we get a lot of weirdos in Capcom, and that's how we're able to make games with a little bit more style, a little more flavor than...
usually care about.
Yeah, than the usual fare. So I don't know if that would really be possible in the kind of company that might make such an offer.
If you're going to make a sequel, you want to make it worthwhile in every couple of years, not every 8 months. Capcom, exactly. You have no place in the Activision EA world.
We're going to put a naked boy in short pants and a pirate hat. And
you don't work for a magazine or a website per se. But you do work for a website, but do you have anything to tease? What's coming out next week? Can you What's
coming out next week? Absolutely nothing. We have no surprises. Stay away from our website. It'll be completely
shelled. You guys are just going up on Capcom blog.
What's the URL of the Capcom blog?
Capcom-unity.com.
And
we have a little bit of fun, so
the hippie shit.
It's a little different than a lot of the corporate blogs. So
I gotta say, I love the blog. There was one day several months ago where for no reason at all it was an animated GIF of Van Damme's dance from whatever movie that was, and I watched it and laughed for probably 30 minutes straight because some reason I completely missed that of all the internet stuff and just watched him do that. As gay, credited as gay karate man. I just kept laughing at it, couldn't stop. And then I forgot the tab was there, and then at the end of the day, I'm closing everything down, and there it is again.
He gets you coming and going. Oh, Van Damme.
Is there anything we can look forward to going to the Capcom site this week?
Capcom's going to have a bunch of good stuff. So we're all about the downloadables. We got some more Mega Man. We're going to have a lot of Mega Man action. We got a bunch of contests going right now.
I want you to hate him for a spiel, but I love Mega Man so much and Cap.
Hey, you want a spiel? I'll give you a spiel. What do I got? What do I got? Nothing. It's just
you
same.
Do. But you have the community stuff. Is there any community features going live?
Same nonsense. We're doing Ask Inafune. We just had KJ Inafune, creator Mega Man. He was just in the office, so we did a little thing where people can ask him questions directly. So we took the 10 best questions from the community, and he just answered those yesterday. So we're going to throw those up on the site soon. And actually, for giant Mega Man nerds, there'll be some story issues resolved. Like, if you've been wondering about, like, what happened between classic Mega Man series and Mega Man X, like, it'll all be resolved.
I'm a gigantic...
AJ Inafune, I'm not saying they bridge it. There's a question about it. He answers the question.
Why are you not more interested?
It's like 70 years of time or something, isn't it? Like, between Mega Man and Mega Man X?
100 years.
100 years. Whoa. Pandora, I can't believe I forgot that. It was only 15 years ago. I love Mega Man X.
Okay. Brad Malston, what do you have going on next week?
I actually think the most recent thing... Well, I just posted this week the game names take over corporate logos, which is...
I didn't care for that. Next.
Okay.
Give us the good stuff. Come on, sweetie.
Well, the nice thing I got is a couple weeks away, so I'm just planning and wheeling and dealing. I got things in the pipes, man. Mega Man stuff. Oddly enough, Mega Man stuff is what I'm kind of looking at this point in time.
The whole universe is circling around Mega Man right now.
I want to hear Michael's
voice
again.
For me, especially.
I want to hear your voice again.
You want to hear my voice again? Well, this week was like taking a huge dump for me because I finally finished the secret project that I've been working on like the past 2.5 weeks, which was the Lego games we'd love to see, which was just, you know, 2 weeks solid of buying these stupid Lego toys, photographing them, and then photoshopping them into mock-up screenshots.
You were very meticulous. Michael did all that fucking photo work himself, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's...
You ever realize, like, that's your job, and you wish you could, like, go back in time and high-five, like, your 8-year-old self and be like, yeah!
This is what I make my living doing, and it is just fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I can't complain.
They're so good. They're so much fun. My favorite is the last entry. I really think we should make that a desktop background.
The Seventh Seal?
Don't give it away, dear.
Oh, fine.
Too late. It's too late. You know what? All our readers... don't know that movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing that they'll be like, "What is this black and white shit?"
Bergman. The closest they'll get is that bitch Casablanca.
Except for Joe Masterbaby, who seemed to recognize him.
Oh, that guy's great.
Yeah,
he's 72. Actually,
yeah,
it's near death.
Joe Masterbaby.
72 years old.
It's pretty clear from his avatar, actually.
I don't know, Brett. Help me. Do I have anything? Is
well, right now you're actually working on an article to help pimp the podcast.
I am. It's going up. Please help me out. There's two threads. I don't know where they're at, but I always read them.
Also, there's your South Park contest. It's up now.
No, it's not up right now. And I sincerely doubt it'll be up by the time this goes
by Friday? Out. All right, fair enough. All right.
Cut it out. We have a South Park contest coming soon where you can win a DVD, Guitar Hero bundle of your choice, the 11th season, a fucking Cartman costume. There's nothing more dignified than playing Tenacious D on your fake guitar in a Cartman costume.
That's, I think, the end of the road, actually.
Next year, South Park Dom.
That's a contest that you win, right? Not that you lose.
That's a contest that you endure. I think it's a cool contest. I love it when the South Park people get in touch with me because it really just gives us an excuse to run anything we want.
We got those questions, too, because they had like Sagat and Akuma appearing as like the most evil characters, right? And so people were like, are you going to sue South Park? Or like, give them a high five, I guess.
Were there any lawsuits that resulted? Like,
no.
Did they
contact us? No, but is it awesome? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I have Akuma up on the article.
Nice.
Along with a bunch of other video game characters. Tune in for that. Hopefully, Teat article. Please. Worst music games. You know what? I don't care. Look, I just want to do this, people. I want to talk to you. We'll see you next week. What's the best way to go out?
No, I
didn't. Jake! Snap!
You win! Perfect!